Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Daled, and we are holding right there at that Halakha Mishnah on Yud Daled Amud Aleph. So, Kol Shivat HaYamim, Hu Zorek Et Adam, we're now ready for the next stage. We talked about the first stage, which was 7 days of the Prisha of the Kohen. We talked about what the limud was, how do we know it? We talked about the relationship to Par Aduma and the relationship to the Har Sinai and the relationship to the Miluim and the various things that we learn from the Miluim and the question whether the Zrika is connected to Zrika and the Miluim that we do from the Par Aduma. So it turns out that there's even this relationship of the Dinim of the Par Aduma for the Dinim of the Kohen on Yom Kippur, because we're doing the Hazoya from the Par Aduma. So as we'll see today, we strangely suddenly get back involved in the Par Aduma, even though we don't seem to have anything to do here with the Par Aduma. It's quite amazing the way the multi-leveled layers over here in the structure of the Gemara, as we'll see. But anyway, ostensibly we're moving on, and we are now talking about what happens to him, what do we do in terms of educating the Kohen and in terms of preparing him for the actual Aveda. So we finished up the last issue that we had yesterday was the question of what do we do about the fact that he might be missing a wife and how we deal with that and the various tznoyim that we make, and move on to today's Mishnah of what he does that kol shivat hayamim hu zorek et adam umaktir et haktoret umeitiv et haneirot umakriv et harosh ve et harogel. There are certain things that we insist that he do during this period. So we want him to get used to doing. Remember, he has on Yom Kippur a very strange situation in which everything has to be done by him. So, I mean, normally a Kohen Gadol, you know, he chooses the thing that he wants to do. And he, in a sense, may be very much out of practice in terms of the daily kind of things that the Kohanim do. And since on Yom Kippur, he is both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot in a strange way, you know. So he's doing everything. And he's wearing both sets of begodim at different times in the Aveda, as we're going to see, and as you'll remember from the Parsha that we just learned. So we want to make sure that he is the Rogel B'Aveda. So how do we get him to be Rogel B'Aveda? So we have him do the kind of things that he's going to be doing on Yom Kippur, we have him do every single day. So we want him to be Zorek the Dam of the Korbanos Tmimim, so we'll get used to them. We want him to be Makteres Hakteres every single day, in the morning, in the afternoon. We want him to be Meitivet HaNeirot. He's got to clean out the Neirot, get them ready, and light them. And he's Makriv also some of the Evorim. So he's Makriv the Rosh and the Regel of the Tomid. Again, this is all part of getting him used to his double job on Yom Kippurim. Now, normally during the year, the Kohen Gadol would not be that busy with the standard kind of things that Kohanim do. It's up to him. Im ratza la'akriv makriv. He can be makriv whenever he wants, but he doesn't have to be. Remember that all the Kohanim have a day that they're on duty, twice a year. So we've got the 24 mishmarot. Each one of those mishmarot is split into families of six families, and those families are going to be the ones that get a chance once a year and then another chance once a year, because the entire Mishmar has two chances a year. And they're this all together, of course, on the Regel, that yes. But he can come anytime he wants. Normally, a Mishmar can prevent anybody whose turn is not today from doing any Aveda, because basically they're stealing the chances for Aveda and the rewards of the Aveda, which include, of course, the Chalokim and the Chiluk of the Achila and the Eiris and so on. So they can stop him from doing Aveda. Of course, they can stop him from taking any Chalek in anything, but they can't stop the Kohen Gadol, ever. Because the Kohen Gadol can be Makriv, Chalek Barosh. He can say, excuse me, I'll take that, and then just go and take any part that he wants. Be makriv any korb that he wants, and he can choose any chelek for the achila of the kahuna and the eres. He could take everything he wants. So he's no tel chelek barosh. Anyway, so now we have this curious relationship to the Par Aduma again. Because asks the Gemara, well, who would be the author of our Mishnah? Because we got a little bit of a problem here, as we're about to see. Omer of Chista, the Mishnah cannot work out like Rabbi Akiva. We understand what your problem is, and there's no solution. The Mishnah is the look, Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, since a person who is not Tame and who was Niza from the Efer HaPara, so from the Mepara, he would become Tame. So how in the world would a Kohen Gadol be able to do these Avodas that he's ostensibly doing according to our Mishnah if we have made sure to be Mazin Alav Kol Shiva? So the very fact that we said before that we're Mazin Alav Kol Shiva means that the continuation of the Mishnah here of Kol Shivato Ayamimu Zorek means it's not Rabbi Akiva, because both of those statements together don't make sense. If you're Mazin Alav Kol Shiva, then he can't do the Aveda Kol Shiva, you see? And therefore, since Rabbi Akiva says that a person who was Tahor and nafla alav hazaah, that hazaah is mitamehim, and that's one of the strange issues of the Parah Aduma, that it's mitameh et ha-tahorim. So if he is tahor, and I mean 99% is that he's tahor, the only reason we're being mazin alav is because of this crazy kind of issue of chumrah for kachim and the chashivas of the Kohen Gadol and so on and so forth. But I mean, otherwise, we don't really think he's tamei and that he was exposed to a mate before he came in, right? And so therefore, we should certainly have to worry about the possibility that he was tar and now we're being matami him by being maza on him. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, he wouldn't be able to do avodah. Now, according to the Tana, the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see, and they hold there's no such din as you becoming Tomei just because you were exposed to the Parah Aduma, and we'll see what the Machlokas is, which of course gets us into the whole question of how to understand the Dinim of Azoi, the Parah Aduma, of all the wild things in the context of the Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. And that's Ka'asher Asa B'Yom HaZeh, Tziva Hashem La'asot L'chaper. So we're still basically living that posse. So where do we have this Machlokas? The Tanya. V'hizah HaTohor Al HaTamei. What that means is that only if he's mazeh al hatameh will he be metayer him. But, I mean, it could have just said v'izah tohor alav, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. So why does it say al hatameh, since that's what the entire context is? Somebody became tameh v'izah alav. Why al hatameh? Must be coming to tell me only if he was tameh can he be metayer him. So al hatameh tohor ba'al al tohor tameh. If the man had not been tohor, then he would become Tomei from the actual Hazoya. So says Rabbi Akiva. The Chachomim say, Ein advarim alolo amurim, ela bedvarim amekablim tum'ah. The meaning of Izah Torah LaTamei is something else entirely. Because, I mean, you must admit that it's rather strange that something that is being metayer as HaTameim, isn't it a koshikim that it's not going to be metame as HaTahorim? Therefore, we understand the pasuk means to say like this. Hazaya is only considered to be an act of Hazaya if the object upon which it is muzah is ra'ui to be mekabel tuma. But if you would use the waters of the Parah Aduma for something else, let's say you use it to wash your car, right? So what's the din? All of the water becomes pasul because it was used for work. And therefore, whatever would be left on the actual Eitz Erez Ve'ezov would be itself pasul, because now all that water was used for washing your car. But the same thing is true if I use it to sprinkle, let's say, on an animal. An animal can't be mekabel tuma, so basically I use it to wash my car. Okay, so then what happens to the water that's left on the ezov? It's now not usable again, and it becomes pasul. That's what it's coming to tell me. So in the event that you did hazaya on an object that is shayach to tuma, even if it's not tuma, fine. But if you use it on an object that's not shayach to tuma, then you have to view it as doing work. And if you do it on work, then you've passed it. That's what it's coming to teach me. Nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva's drasha. What do we mean, Mayhi? That is basically the issue that we see in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah in Parah explains that if someone had in mind to be zorek the meipara on an animal, nitkaven lahazot al habehima, which is of course not able to be makabel tuma. Only a dead animal can be matame, or meat as an eichlin can be matame, but certainly a living, nothing living is matame other than humans. And instead, he was mazeh al ha'adam. Now, he never got it on the animal, right? So im yeshba izov, but it's not considered to be hazoya on the adam because it was without kavana. So im yeshba izov, if there's anything left of that meipora that was still able to be sprinkled on the human, this time with kavana, he can use it. Yishna. But if his kavana was to be mazeh on the adam, but accidentally he was mazeh on his car or on his donkey, so then, im yesh beizov lo yishna. You cannot use the remaining water again. And it became posel because it was used for malacha bi'alma. And therefore, it's not considered to be a leftover shirayim, kosher shirayim. Fine. Okay. Then would turn out that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva's for? So my time at the Rabbi Akiva, why does he say it can't mean what the Chachomim say? It has to mean that if it's Nizrak on an Adam who is Tahar, it makes him Tame. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Akiva holds like this. Why does the Torah say, V'hizah ha-Tahar al ha-Tame? Why doesn't it simply say, V'hizah ha-Tahar alav? Because there was a reference to the Tame person before that this pronoun of alav would be referring to. So why stress again al ha-tame? Clearly al ha-tame tahor, the al ha-tahor tame. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Whereas the rabbanan say that no, the only thing is the way we learn it, which means the dvar mekablam tumah u'diata. Now I understand that that is not the most simple meaning of the pasuk, but how could we accept your meaning? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? I mean, isn't it a little ridiculous to say that the Pora Aduma, which can make somebody Tahar, is going to make somebody who's Tahar Tame? That's crazy. And Rabbi Akiva's response to that is, the whole Pora Aduma is crazy. I mean, don't we know that the nature of the Pora is that it's Dinmar paradoxical? So that's why they're called Poras. They're paradoxical. That's not a pun. Hainu Dika Omar Shlomo. I thought that I would become so smart. I would understand all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And then when I got up to Paraduma, I give up. It's just beyond me.
Boy, was my face red.
Barnea, I am beginning to think that you need a non-academic career. I think it's starting literally to affect the way you're thinking. I'm not kidding. It's like, since you started on this doctorate, it's like, oh my gosh. You have to realize these people are really stupid. They don't know how to think. And Mimela, you're willing to entertain the craziest kind of things. I'm really getting worried about it. Okay. I was mama shaking all night last night. I'm really worried. Okay.
Don't see any other way to read it, but let's discuss that one.
No, don't discuss. Learn to listen and get back into being a member of Talmidei Chachamim instead of universities. Honestly, you never would have come to misread something like that other than because of the archaeologists. No question. Over there, you're willing to entertain anything. Far out, Mishigas, okay, this must be what it is. So you get used to playing that in Torah, but you can't. The Torah is based on Das and on a complete picture. Okay, anyway. So this is Tainas the Gemara and Rabbi Akiva. This is good for the whole point, isn't it? Says Rabbi Akiva. That the Parah Aduma is not really meant to make normal sense. And the Rabbanan. How did they explain that Shlomo HaMelech says this is crazy? No, that doesn't mean that the Paraduma is actually going to be Matame anybody. That is talking about something crazy, but not this. It's referring to Ahu Lamazev Lamazina Lav Tahor. The fact is that the person who does the Hazoya, because it says V'izah HaTahor Alatame Mashma, he retains his status of Tahira. And yet, if somebody touches the Porah Aduma water and is not doing the actual Hazoya, he becomes Tomei. How is that possible? V'hanogea b'mei hanida. What do you mean, hanogea b'mei hanida? But, I mean, even if he's doing the Hazoya, he's called Tahar. That's crazy, say the Chachamim. Wait a minute. The Chachamim are saying that the person who does the Hazoya is Tahar. Did they forget the Pasuk? It says, Umaze mei hanida yechabez begadav. What in the world? It says beferish in the Pasuk that if you do the Hazoya, then you are Tamei, so it's perfectly consistent. Anogea b'mei hanida or maze mei hanida. No. That doesn't mean that. It seems to mean it, but it can't mean it, because it says, V'izah ha-tahor alatame. So how can you tell me that tahor has to be b'chavis begadav? Please. So therefore, what must it mean? And believe me, Barnea, they know there's no other way to read it. And therefore, what must it mean? My mazeh, believe it or not, mazeh means somebody was nogea. What? It's two separate psukim. Anogea b'mei anida v'hamazeh mei anida. Please, not only that, even if you try to tell me that they're the same thing, they're two different dinim. First of all, one pasuk talks about mazeh. One person talks about nogea, and they talk about different dinim. It says mazeh mei anida yechabez begadav. V'hanogea b'mei anida is tamei ad ha'arev. It doesn't say yechabez begadav. So obviously, there are two completely different dinim. One is halacha in nogea, and one is halacha in mazeh. And how can you possibly claim that because it says in the Torah, v'yizah ha-tahor ala-tameh, that means he's defined as being in a status of tahira and remains tahor? Okay, fine. I didn't mean that the mazeh is a maga. You're right. Maga and mazeh refer to different phenomena, but it still doesn't mean mazeh. That I guarantee you, because it says vizah tahar. Okay, so what does it mean? It means that there is another tuma other than maga. What is that? Nosei, which is very much the norm, that if something is metami b'maga, most of the inyanim that are metami b'maga will also be metami b'masa. So it means if you carry the water of the Porah Aduma, you will become Tomei. Well, wait a minute. But it says mazeh. I mean, why doesn't it just come right out and say what it means? If the pasuk means no say, so let it say no say. My time exceed mazeh. Why would it present it as mazeh? Ah, that is an amazing halacha. It's coming to tell me that if you are no say, less than the required amount of water to do an act of hazayah, then it is not matame. So that's a big kiddush. That it's not the water, it's the shiur of hazoya that's matame. So be'alkamash malan, debe'inon shiur hazayah. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, but not everybody holds that there even exists that idea of a shiur hazayah. Because there's a man the Amar who holds, it makes absolutely no difference how much water actually hits the guy, it could be one tiny sprinkle of a drop. There is no shir of azah. So how in the world could we tell me that the use of the word mazeh is to tell me you need enough at least to do azayah? I mean, yeah, if you hold like the mandi omar, nichal mandi omar, that hazah requires a shir, okay, I understand, and it works. But according to the mandi omar, hazah ain't tzricha shiur. So how do you understand the fact that the Torah expresses the idea of no say by using the word mazeh? I mean, it's ridiculous to use the word mazeh for no say. No, you misunderstand that whole sugya. It's true that there's a machlokas about whether there's a shir of hazoya, but that means there's a machlokas whether there is a certain amount of water of the meipora that needs to hit the body of the individual's tummy. That's a machlokas. So according to Waman di Omar, the tiniest drop that touches the guy, that's the hazoya. So afil Waman di Omar hazoya ain't tzricha shiur, according to that Waman di Omar. He's referring to the water that reaches the body of the object of the hazoya. Ani milei agaba de gavra. But everybody agrees that there needs to be a specific amount of water in the container of the water that you're going to be dipping the azov into, So that b'mona, of course, tzricha shir according to everybody, because that's a beferish a Mishnah in Para. It says, kama yehei bahen vehei bahen kidei hazoy. What is the shir of the cup that you have in order to have a shir hazoya? And this is talking about the literally the shir that we're talking about over here that will be mitame, somebody who carries it. Kedei sheyit bol, you have to be able to have enough that the roshe givolim should be able to go into the water, and there is going to be enough water on them so that at least that one drop comes off of them. But if the only way to get the azov to be able to get enough water to do a hazoya is by mushing it around the edges of the kli where there's still some water, like we do when we really are trying to get out all of the Starbucks from the cup with the last little piece of donut, you know. So that is not considered to be bichtei hazoya. So, okay, then there is a minimal shear that will be able to cover the little knobs on the hyssop. Okay, fine. So now we have said that it can't be going according to Rabbi Akiva. Abaya says, what in the world is your problem? Why can't it be going like Rabbi Akiva? Works out perfectly well. Does it say anywhere that we're going to be sprinkling on the paraduma from him all day long? No. So why can't he do the Aveda all day long? And then the last thing, before he goes, before the sun sets, then we will sprinkle on him. And he immediately goes to the mikveh. And then by 2 minutes later, when it's already Ba'a Shemesh, so then he will be completely tar, and he'll be able to once again do the Avodah the next day. Why are you making such a problem out of this? Now, obviously, the Gemara held that the fact that we're going to be comparing this to the Inyonim of the Miluim, if this is the Mark, remember, we had a Machlokas before about whether this is considered to be a Mala Biyama, or whether we are actually learning this out from the Miluim. You know, Akiva and La, I know that the Sesame Street this morning, it's amazing how you guys manage to get two monitors at the same time. I know the Sesame Street's doing well, but could we at least cut out the texting? It's a whole new world in kindergarten nowadays. Okay, so the issue over here would be, whether we're learning it from the Miluim or whether it's a Maila B'Yama. If we're learning it Miluim, so Enochinami over there, that was part of what we did. We do that in the morning, we're Mazal, Aaron, that was the Dam, Nichlas Mayim Tachas Dam. If, on the other hand, it's a Maila B'Yama, why can't the Maila B'Yama be like the last thing that we do in the day? Therefore, it says, Abaya Filu Teimer Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah works out perfectly well, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva, because he could do, like the Mishnah says, every single day he's Mazah the Dam, he brings the Evarim, and so on and so forth. That's all day long, right? So David Aveda Kula Yom. And then as it gets towards dark, Lepanya, where he did everything that he needed to do, so then we will be Mazah from the Paraduma. He would become Tomei for 5 minutes. He would then go to the mikveh, and he would wait until Herif Shemesh, and then he would be Tar. And now he can get back to work again the next morning. So what's the big deal? Okay, so that, moving on to the next part of our mission. Akteres, we talked about. So he's Makteres, Akteres, he's Meiti V'Taneirot, just Agav. I mean, we have a right to take the Mishnah very seriously in terms of the order that the Mishnah is presenting. I mean, the Mishnah wouldn't just arbitrarily put things in an order that is not appropriate. So if the Mishnah says that he's Makter the Ktores and then he's Meitiv the Neires, that seems pretty clear that that is the correct order. You're Makter the Ktores and then you're Meitiv the Neires. So, but that implies that the Ktores is brought before the Neirites. But the problem is that it actually says in Tamid, in the Mishnah, the opposite, Vraminu. It says, here it's talking about the Payasot. The Payasot were these choosing ups that we do to be able to randomly determine which coin is Zocha in which Avod. Okay, so over there in Tamid, it mentions the Aveda in terms of the pious. So the Mishnah is really talking about each one of the three payasot, And it goes in order of the needs of the Aveda. So it says over there like this, that mi shezacha b'dishun mizbeach ha'pnimi. So we have this whole list of these 13 things that you're zeicha in. And the next pious was mi shezacha b'minayra. And the next pious, the last pious was that mi shezacha b'kteres. Why did we do the pious in that order? And by the way, I mean, those pious saw it. It actually describes what was done. I mean, it's not just, okay, these are the three payasot. It describes the Aveda of the payasot. So obviously, it's going in order over there. That's the whole point of Tamid. It's giving you the Seder of the Aveda of the Yom. So there, it's quite clear that Misha Zachabi Menorah, he goes in and it says what he does. So a Misha Zachabi Ktaris must be after the Menorah. But our Mishnah says that first comes the Ktaris and then comes the Menorah. How do you explain that? Amar Rav Huna, well, there is a well-known machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah and the Chachamim. So the Tana that said the Mishnah in Tamid must be Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah, and that would mean that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah, since we know his Shita, we see Beferish, his Shita in Brises later, as Rashi says, so it must be that he was the one that gave the general dinim of Tommy. That's what he's assuming. Now, he doesn't know for a fact, as we'll see. He doesn't know this for a fact as a Kabbalah. He knows for a fact that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah had many of the shitas that are expressed in the Mishnah of Tommy. Okay, so that's Das Yochid. Our Mishnah is going according to the Das Arabim, and the Das Arabim, they hold that the Seder is the way we have it over here. But wait a minute. That can't be true. We know that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah is the person who argues on the Stam Psak of the Mishnah and Tamid. How could he be called the author of Tamid? Because take a look at this Mishnah in Tamid. Bala l'ker mizrachit tzfonit. Here's Stam. The Tanakama says, and this is now expanding on that Mishnah about the pious, in which we decide the 13 different Avedas that are going to be done. So one of them is this guy who's doing the Zrikas Dama Tamid. So what does he do? So he comes up to the Mizbeach. He gets to the Mizrachit Tzvonit. So once he reaches the corner, which is the second corner that he's going to be getting to, because he turns right when he gets off of the Kevesh, gets all the way to the end, and this is the end of the southeast side, and then he turns around, facing the Mizbeach, will be turning towards his right, and he'll continue to go all the way up to the northeast corner. So, Bolo Lekar Mizrachit Tzvonit. You'll remember that the reason that he had to do that is because we do not do the Zrika if there's no Yesod, because it says, oh, Yesod on Mizbeach. So even though he's on top of the Mizbeach over here, where he's doing top literally, but he is not on the Yesod, but it doesn't matter. We don't put the Dam where it doesn't fall to the Yesod. So if that's the case, he needed to go all the way to where the Yesod begins. So, okay, now he's at the northeast corner. He now takes the Dam and he zorek the Dam on that corner. So that way it hits both sides. So that single Zrika is one Zrika that equals two. And it reaches Ma'aravit, it reaches Mizrachit, to phone on both sides. Now he starts walking again, gets to the edge, makes a right again when he's facing the Mizbeach, gets all the way down to the Dorom side, but he's walking along the side of the Mizbeach, which is near the Heichal, which is the western side. So he now goes to the Maravit Dromit corner, the southwest corner, and then he sprinkles on a diagonal against that corner so that it hits those two sides. And now the Dam, because it was on this diagonal on each side, it covers all four walls of the Mizbeach. It's hit the north, and it's hit the east, and it's hit the west, and it's hit the south. Now, the problem is that the Braita says as follows, Vatani Allah, that there's one very important Tana that disagrees with this Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. Come on. So how could Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah be the Stam Tana of the Mishnah in Talmud if Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah actually argues and he says, look, this may be the case for a standard Eila. Yes, but it is not the case for the Eila's Talmud. And when it comes to the Eila's Talmud, it's done differently. We don't do Shnayim Shein Arba. We do one, which is Shnayim, and then two. So basically, we end up with three different motions of the Zrika for the Eilas Tomit. So yes, I agree with you that when he gets to Mizrachit Tzafonit, he does give one throw, which hits Mizrach and Tzafona. But when he hits the next one, which is on the southwest corner, Maravit Tromit, there he throws the dam with his coast twice. First, he's Zorek directly on the west side of the Mizbeach, and then he's Zorek directly on the south side of the Mizbeach. So obviously, if this is the din of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah, that he's the one who argues on the Mishnah, he cannot be the Stam author of the Mishnah. So it can't be what Ravuna was saying. Okay, fine. But we could still use the point. The point is, says Rabbi Yochanan, that it's true, Seder Yuma could be said by somebody else. So maybe that's the point. Seder Yuma in our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah, because the Shita in Maseches Tamid is the opposite of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah. So that's going according to Chachamim. And over here, we adopted the Seder Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. He was the one who was shown in this Mishnah. Says Zigmar, this is not going to help you. It's not going to help you one bit, because when we get later on in Yuma itself, there's going to be the same contradiction between one Mishnah in Yuma and the other Mishnah in Yuma. So don't try to tell me that the point over here is the difference between Tumid and Yuma, because that's not going to help. Because then Rami Seder Yuma. I mean, we have a different Seder in the Mishnah later, Ditznan, because later on it says here in Yoma, where it's going through the same Payasot, right? So it says over there, the Payas HaSheni is Mishochet, and over there it's talking about who is going to get the right to be Shochet, and Mizorek, and Mimidashin Mizbeach HaPimi, and Mimidashin Amenera, and Mimale Evorim Lekevesh, and Mimale Evorim, and all of the different things that we have, all of those people being Zoche in. Fine. That's the second pious. Then the third pious is, now note that the second pious said Mimidashin Et Amenora, and the third pious says, Chadashim Lekitoret Bo Veafisu. So we have the same exact problem. We had everybody go do their thing and then come back again to do a separate pious. And the separate pious was only, of course, for people who had never had an opportunity before in their life to bring the Ketores. Because remember that it says, Yasimu Ketora Ba'apecha, and then that's followed by Borech Hashem Chelo. So it's mashma that somebody who brings the Ketores is going to be zocha to the brocha of getting rich. And therefore, this pious, we limit to someone who hasn't had that opportunity. We want to spread the riches. So we say, okay, Chadashim L'Ktores, a Kohen who never had an opportunity to bring the Ktores, here is your chance, but somebody already had it, cannot participate in this choosing up. So Chadashim L'Ktores, Bo V'Afisu. But anyway, it's clear that the idea of, it says over here, that we do first, we take off Medashin Mizbeach HaPnimi, and Medashin HaSamenora was before the Ktores. And our Mishnah says that first we do the Ktores, and then, I mean, that's the order that it presents it in what the Kohen Gadol does. I mean, we wouldn't change the order, would we? And only then we do the Medashin, the Menorah. So how are you going to answer that? You can't say half of Yuma is said by Rav Shimon Isha Mitzpah and the other half is said by the Rabbana, can you? Om Rabbaya, look, is that really a problem? Because remember that we bedavka split, as we'll see later on, we split the Dishon HaMenorah into two different stages. And that everybody's made it to us. We're going to go through the Gemara later. So first we did Dishun of Chamesh Neirais, interrupted the Dishun HaMenera with something else, and then we went ahead and were Medashen the two Neirais. So what we interrupted with, says Abaye, was the Keteres. Therefore, there's no problem. It can say that we do the Dishun and then do the Keteres, if it's a reference to the five Neirais. And it could also say you do the Keteres and then you do the Dishon. But then it would be a reference to the final two Neirais. So fine, because we will interrupt the activities of the Menera with the Keteres. And this, of course, comes from, as we'll see, the relationship of the Psukim Behetivot HaNeirot. So the Psukim make it evident that there's a relationship between the Hatovas HaNeirais and the Hakrovas HaKeteres. Wait a minute, but that raises a whole other problem. Because then you're going to say that Abaye is suggesting that the thing that came between the Hatovas Chamesh Neiros and the Hatovas Shtei Neiros was the Keteres, right? But that's impossible, because Abaye is the author of the whole Seder HaMa'arocha. Remember that we say every day in the Korbonos, Abaye Havi Mesader Seder HaMa'arocha, Mishmei de Gemara. And it says over there, what's the order? Meitiv Chamesh Neiros, Zerek Dama Tomid, and then he's Meitiv de Shtei Neiros. And he does not use the Keteres to be the Aveda that comes between the two stages of the Hatovas HaNeiros. How could Abaye, who is the very author that's quoted all over the world every single day, how could he be the one who suggests that we use the Keteres to be Mavzik between the Chomesh Neiros and the Shtei Neiros? That's outrageous. No, it's not. Did you forget the rest of the gears over there? Abaye, Havi Mesader, Ma'arocha, Mishmei, De Gemora, Aliba, De Abba Shol. Did you forget that? That's going according to Abba Shol. He said that Beferish. This is going according to the Rabbanan. And there is a machlokas between the Rabbanan and the Abba Shol as to what the Seder HaMa'arocha was. Was it B'dama Tabid Mafsiklu? That's Aliba D'Abba Shol. If you hold, according to the Rabbanan, who argue in Abba Shol, which is what Abai is explaining over here, in our Mishnah, then you would have used the Keteres. So fine. Agi L'Abba Shol. And ha L'Rabbanan. So there is such a machlokas. I mean, we're not making it up to cover for Abaye. I mean, it says Beferish in the Brayta. Lo yetiva taneirot v'achar kach yaktir. A Kohen should not finish doing the hatova of all of the neiros and then bring the keteres. He should be maktir before he finishes the menorah. So he should be maktir, and then he can be metiv the last two. Whereas Abba Shol says, no, he has to be metiv all of the neiros before he does the keteres. So the idea over here is that since it's a given that the din of the Hatovas HaNeiros is done in two separate stages, and it's also a given, as we're going to see later on with Dorish from the Pasuk, that the Dam HaTamid has to be done before the Keteres, so then if you're going to be doing the Haktaras HaKeteres before we do the Menorah, so then it must have been done after the Zrikas Dam HaTamid. But then what would we use to be mechalik between the first five and the last two? We can't have the Dam HaTamid available, because the Dam HaTamid, by definition, is always done before the Keteres. So you're locking yourself out of the whole possibility of a two-staged Hatovas HaNeiros, if you think that it means you should finish all of the Neiros. Whereas Abba Shol says, look, your mavdil between the five and the two with the Dam HaTamid, not with the Keteres, then you complete all of the Neiros, and then you do the Keteres. Where does he get this from? My time at Abba Shol? Abba Shol says the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Baboker, Baboker, Behetivo et HaNeirot. So it says, when he finishes that of a HaNeirot, Yaktirena. At that point, he should be Maktirit, right? And the Rabbanu, say on the contrary. When it says behetivo, what it means is while he is in the act of the hatava, Be'idan hatov, atei maktik terz, doesn't mean when it's completed. It means that at the time that he's involved in doing the hatov as haneiros, that would be the meaning of when he should bring the k'teres. How can he do two things at once? Doesn't do two things at once. He's metiv chomesh neiros, brings the k'teres, and metiv shtei neiros. And that way, we're mekayim the pasuk, that this is occurring as if it's simultaneous. He's in the middle of doing the hatovas haneiros, and he's also doing the k'teres, and thereby finishes it so that the neiros, so to speak, wrap the Zman of the K'teres. Because if you don't think that we're right, okay, how do you understand the Pasuk that explains what he does Bein Arbaim? It says over there, Uve ha'alot aharonet ha'nerot Bein Arbaim yaktirin, right? That's the next Pasuk. Okay, what does that mean? So what are you going to tell me that it means, Abishol? Does it mean that first he's madlik the neiros? That's what you said it meant in the morning, Beitivot ha'nerot, right? So, I mean, be consistent. So if he's going to be Bahetivot Haneirot in the morning, then Bahalot Aharonet Haneirot Ben Arbaim has the same meaning. Okay, so according to you, it means finish doing the Hadlaka and then do the Ktoris, right? That's what you claim, Achinami. Bereisha, you're Madlik Neiros, and then you're Makta the Ktoris of Ben Arbaim. No way. Vechitem Achinami, don't try to tell me, yeah. No, no, no. Because it says Beferish, that's impossible. But Tanya, we learn out from the Pasuk, Me'erev ad boker. So there, the Torah is insisting that something about the menorah. It says, Ya'aroch oto aharon uvanav me'erev ad boker lifnei Hashem. That does not mean that he does the avodah me'erev ad boker. It means that when he does the avodah as the last thing he does in the day, he should give it me'erev ad boker, meaning, make sure there's enough oil in it. Tein la kemidata sheteid olechet v'olechet kol alayla mi'erev ad boker. But a dover acher is that mi'erev ad boker means the only thing that acts out an aveda from the entire period, from the hadlakas haneiros till the morning, is the fact that the neiros continue to burn. Ein lecha avoda shekshera mi'erev ad boker ela zo bilvad. The only thing that is an act of aveda is this. Therefore, when it says, Behalotot HaNeirot, what does it mean? It can't mean that you first do the Halot HaNeirot and then you violate the Pasuk Me'erev Ad Boker now, Abishol, can it? So therefore, what is the Torah saying? Ma'ikam Rachmana. Same thing we said about the morning, that it means while this is going on, while the Hatov is going on, that's what it means in the evening, while the Hadlok is going on. So be'idan hadlaka te makter k'teres, which means that you are mafsiket, you do first five, then the k'teres, and then two. So then orchinami means the same thing in the morning. What's your problem? Be'idan hatova te makter k'teres. There's no way out of this, man. Says Abishol, you're right. There is no way out of it in terms of the interpretation of what goes on at night. But, I mean, we're talking about two different phenomena over here. In the morning, it's talking about when he's being metivo et anirot. And in the evening, we're talking about when he's being halotot haneirot. Okay, I admit that if it says, Abishol amar lecha, look, it says over here, the word oto, that was your diak, right? Me'erev ad boker. Oto me'erev ad boker. Nothing else is kosher me'erev ad boker. I agree to that. So obviously, if the Torah is telling me there is no choice, and it cannot mean to do the Torah after I was already madlik the neiros, yes. But does it say oto anywhere in the morning? Where it's talking about the Hatovas Haneiros? No. And therefore, I say, take the Pasuk Kipshuto. And it means exactly what it's saying. First, complete the Hatovah, and then go on and do the Ketores.